Hi, I'm Sam Smeltzer, and I'm an HR intuitive and healer. You're listening to The Heart of It podcast, where we chat about what's at the heart of our workplace cultures. Together, we explore how to work with this dynamic energy to cultivate ultimate employee engagement. It's time to recognize the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energy that exists in our workplaces. And as HR practitioners, we're called to care for it all. I've got one question for you. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Season 3 of the Heart of It podcast. I am so excited that you are here, and this is a game-changing episode because we're shaking things up in Season 3, just like I hinted at the end of Season 2, and we're doing it right out of the gates. So one of the things that I wanted to do, and I think it's actually really convenient because the person who is staying silent right now does not know this, but it's actually been 1 year since I introduced him to the world as being a part of our brand as the literal voice of the HR intuitive. But I have Dave Shiverini here with me. Dave, you want to say hello to the listeners?
Hello, listeners. How are you? It's good to be here.
And if you don't know Dave, when I say literal voice of the HR Intuitive, he is actively recording the audiobook for the HR Intuitive, and then he will move on and record the audiobook for Workplace Healers. So for audio readers who want to listen to my word, you will be hearing the smooth tone of Dave in your ears in the future.
That's it. Smooth tone. I like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I know the listeners know about me. I'll say that, you know, Dave came to me in a very, I would say, almost serendipitous way. And I don't know if you'll describe that from your perspective, but, we met at a typical networking business kind of thing. And I don't think either one of us was looking to make the connection that we made, and then began working together. And, I can honestly say working with Dave has been mutually, I would say, enlightening and empowering, and whatever you got out of us working together, I think it was a win-win situation across the board because we got this beautiful kind of partnership. And today he's here with me to hopefully keep expanding that partnership because 1 year ago we did the audio kind of book launch, the virtual book launch for the HR Intuitive. People loved having Dave as the host. And so I thought, why not come host the Heart of It podcast with me and let's talk about some of these things from our different perspective. So that's my loose kind of bio on you, Dave. Is there anything that you want to share with the listeners that you think that is important for them as they're listening to you for the first time in this?
Yeah, I think just kind of what you said, how Sam and I met, it was very serendipitous. I was actually thinking about this within the last probably 24 to 48 hours. And we met at a networking event. I wasn't thinking anything other than using my 2-drink minimum coupon that they give out. But we ended up talking, and for me anyway, and maybe this is where the intuition comes in, at least part of it, I was kind of quietly probably looking for something that was more in line with what my personality is. And as Sam and I got to work together more and more, it seemed like a really good fit. And one thing led to another, and she kind of quietly asked if I would mind reading the HR Intuitive by way of audio. And I thought I was hearing things, but I asked her to repeat it, and she did. And then I said absolutely, and it's just been very fulfilling. And I really feel like it's something that I've been waiting all this time to do. So it's been great. I've gotten as much out of it, probably more out of this relationship than Sam has. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. So yeah,
I'm equally excited to see where this goes. So the plan is that Dave's going to join me for a couple of episodes throughout this season, and we're going to talk about some topics that have bubbled up from you as the listeners and just kind of riff on them from our different perspectives, because Dave and I have two very different perspectives. And one of the things that I really appreciate about you, Dave, is, and this is very appropriate with our topic for today, which is intuitive leadership, is, you know, I was loosely using the word intuitive because it's a lot safer than psychic or fortune teller or like some of the really woo-woo terms. Yet I don't know if I fully embraced it when we were beginning to work. And I just remember we would have conversations and you would almost routinely say, wow, you're really intuitive. You're really intuitive. Like you were just ingraining it in me, that I can actually say, oh yeah, I'm an intuitive leader today. So you kind of help that. But you know, Dave, you have this wonderful way of affirming people and what their skill sets are and also simplifying it. And that's why I love our conversations and thought it would be such a treasure to record them and share them with everybody. Because literally Dave and I go to the coffee shop and we have some of the most fascinating rapid fire conversations that the time goes by so quickly. And I'm like, man, I wish we could have just recorded that because we go all over the place. And courtesy of the last coffee chat, this is what birthed us coming together and talking in this platform.
Yeah, I totally agree. I find like it's, and I was thinking about this as well. A lot of the things that you say or that I've read or that I hear are things that I'm already thinking or have thought, and you're able to just quantify it and capture it also in really a simple kind of effective, usable, transferable way. So and you're right, the word intuitive, I don't know that people who are in their busy day going from one place to another to ever really take the time to appreciate what it means and what it could mean. So I enjoy just that part of it. It allows us to kind of slow down and maybe just take a moment to observe what's really happening around us. Mm.
So, you know, you saying that, I kind of want to go like directly there. Let's talk about not your work environment, my work environment, but just let's talk about work environments in general. Intuition is not a core component that we usually associate with that. The, you know, intuitive is kind of, I guess, the touchy-feely aspect. Whereas when we think of workplace, for the most part, I know when I was coming up the ranks, you're supposed to leave emotion at the door. You're not really supposed to, you know, you leave work at work and home at home, which we know is totally impossible, but that's what we're told to do. And so this concept of intuition makes that typical framework messy a bit. So why do you think it's necessary? Do you think it is necessary? Or like, why are we talking about it now and we haven't talked about it, you know, 10 years ago?
I tell you, and I feel like this has always been happening. I feel like maybe it's just a real handful, a small percentage of people that might be really in tune to it or just aware of it. But I think now more than ever, you know, just the intuitive aspect, I feel like there's a lot more connection at maybe an emotional or intellect, you know, that's going on between people than just the what are we going to accomplish today? How fast are we going to be able to do it? And after that, we're going to move on to the next thing. I feel like there's a lot more give and take that's possible. And I wish there was a lot more sense of an intuitive type of relationship, even when people are just talking and trying to work together. I feel like that gets lost a lot of times in the hustle and bustle of what we're trying to accomplish every day.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about intuitive leaders, I think back on my past and some of the really great leaders that I've encountered were intuitive leaders. I don't think that they would call themselves that. But, you know, one of the people that comes to mind for me is Mark Butler with Ollie's Bargain Outlets, who's no longer with us. But anytime I wasn't around him a ton, but anytime I was around him, he was very, like, he just knew what things had to happen, which things were not functioning well. And you almost wonder how somebody can be that magical to have a grasp on all those things and make those decisions.
Yeah, and to be able to trust those instincts and carry them out and not feel like people are going to question him or think he's crazy or, wait, that's not the way we've always done it. Or, you know, yeah, I agree. And I feel like any of the leaders that have really struck me or I've connected with or really felt just a sense of just loyalty to have been those who are able to rise above and kind of, they're able to utilize a certain sense or a certain intuition about what things, how things are going and how things are happening. And it, you almost, I don't know that, you know, it's not something black and white. They're not putting it down on paper, but, and I feel like I gravitate towards that type of leader, more so than just someone who's looking at a balance sheet or a, you know, a profit and loss statement.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about taking risks in business, I mean, intuition really kind of fuels that, because sometimes there are some amazing risks that we take, decisions that maybe don't make sense based off of the spreadsheet, but they just have to happen. And who has the courage to do that and trust that instinct in that time? Because, I mean, sometimes it can be pretty, it can be scary. I mean, as a fellow entrepreneur, it is scary. I should just say that.
And I hope this applies, or maybe that, but it's like a true entrepreneurial type of approach to things. And not necessarily just business. I think in your personal life or relationships of any sort, I feel like at the end of the day, you almost have to trust what's happening in your head to take risks and maybe to get past the fear of failing or that fear of I don't want to change. So I definitely think intuition. I think people have it a lot more than they realize. It's part of them more than they realize. Maybe it's not been pulled out of them for whatever reason, but I definitely think the leaders that I kind of think about when I think about leaders are the ones who are risk takers, but not just impulsive. There's a certain sense that they have that something's going to work, and so they kind of they go for it.
So here's the other thing that I think about when we're talking about this conversation, because I think everybody has this ability. I think that we've been trained, especially in the professional aspect, to quiet it and not listen to it because it's not logical. It's not something that we can clearly define. And I'm just like curious, you know, what percentage of people out there are in leadership have tapped into some of these awareness at this level and is actually shutting it down, or shutting it down because they don't care, because nobody ever, you know, was intuitive in guiding them, you know? So like, I'm thinking about these ripple effects of how do we end up where we're at? Because I have a hard time believing that there's, you know, all of us are just lacking connection. Even when I met you, you know, like we didn't meet to talk about being fellow intuitives and tuning into that kind of stuff. And that's where our partnership organically kind of grew, and we found like-minded individuals there, and we found other like-minded individuals. So it's like, we know that they're out there, but like, why are they not, why are we not open about it?
Describe what you mean. I think I know where you're going, because I have people in mind that, yeah, I feel like are now in leadership positions, and I don't know that they necessarily belong, but it could be because they haven't tapped into what you're describing. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think because it's intangible. So like, how do you validate that it adds value? And so this beautiful thing that allows us to connect with people who are clearly the greatest mystery in the business world, whether they are your client or fellow employee or someone you're supervising or your leader, this is pretty much the only skill set that's going to give you insight there. But I think like a lot of times I have conversations with people and they'll say, you know, from an HR perspective, like say we're going to terminate somebody and they did something really shady. And then I'll find out that like six people were like, oh, I knew there was something about that guy. Like I had that feeling. Like that's a gut instinct. That's intuitive to a point. Yes, you need to still have facts to terminate somebody. So you shouldn't just like be like, oh, that looks like a bad guy, so I'm going to fire him. But we don't articulate that in the business world. Whereas at home, like if your daughter came home with somebody who you did not approve of, you would probably be very quick to saying, I don't know about that guy. There's something off. I don't feel comfortable. So like, why is it different?
It's a great question. I feel like it's kind of what you said at the beginning, you know, that separation between work and home life. For some reason, you go into work, and I'll give you a quick story. And this has gone back maybe 15 years or more. But I worked with somebody, and he would say to me, you know, there's two people. There's work Dave and there's fun Dave. And he's like, you need to just be Dave. Okay. It's like there's work and you just need to be that person. And I think what happens at work is you almost feel like, Jesus, is it my place to say that? Am I going to come off as sounding a little, you know, we're fact-based, we're looking at spreadsheets, or, you know, we're task-oriented. Is there a place for that intuition or that kind of funny feeling about some, not necessarily even negative, being somebody I think maybe not doing a good job, but just, you know what, maybe we need to take this business or something concept into a different direction, because I feel like, because how many times do you hear people say that, I got a feeling about, or it feels like, you know, I feel like there's, God, I just said it, there's a lot more of it going on, but my guess is at work, you're a little more reluctant because you're not sure how it's going to be perceived. And you're going to think it's more of a negative than, hey, this is the way we, you know, we need to do it. But.
So, you know, what's interesting is last weekend I did a values exercise, which I'm sure you've probably done, you know, identify your values as a business, identify your values as a person. And I usually honestly think they're all crap because every time I do them, I always feel like whatever I articulate is like just made up mumble jumble that's supposed to make me look good. But I did this one exercise that took me through looking at last year and really challenging me on like where I wish I had more time or what I wish I could have done. And then it asked me to use those prompts and my honest responses to articulate values. And I was like, okay, yeah, because now we're going to get more crappy values. I didn't know this was what the next step was, or I probably would not have started. But when I looked at it, you know, the first value that I articulated was freedom, which I've never used as a value before. And then I had to put in parentheses because I was like, you're never going to remember why this is one of your values. But I said, freedom to be authentic. Freedom for authenticity. And when I think about moving business in a different direction and thinking about people, I feel like it's giving them the space and the freedom to be their authentic nature. I mean, we could take this, move it from even intuition to inclusion of this big movement that's happening there, but wanting people to have a space where they can be Dave, not just work Dave or fun Dave, Dave. With feelings and emotions and thoughts and talents and skills and abilities. And this separation, I mean, my gosh, the amount of energy it takes to have two versions of Dave. I mean,
believe me. And that's interesting because where I'm more relaxed is just when I'm me. And I'm just using me as an example. And, you know, all the listeners out there, put yourself in this position, you know. When you go and talk to somebody or you're in a situation, whether it's work related or personal or whatever, I mean, are you, like Sam said, are you giving yourself permission to be authentic enough to just show up and be there and do you? Or like me, in some cases, you know, I feel like I have to act a certain way in front of certain people. And you know, the best relationships I have, to me, the most important ones and the ones that I get the most fulfillment out of are when I can really just be myself. And the interesting part about that is, it may not be because in my work life, I'm the most knowledgeable, super technical person that they work with. But I've, you know, there's something a little more to Sam's intangible. It could be the personality. It could be because I'm just a little bit more, I'm allowing people to feel comfortable with showing some of their imperfections too. So, and there is where I feel like you can become a little more authentic, is when you're allowing yourself to show. And again, folks might look at that as showing weakness, but I think that's where you can really gain some strength, is when you can really accept the fact that it's okay, you know, to know your strengths and appreciate, and then hopefully align yourself with other folks that do the same and can maybe complement whatever weaknesses you might have.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I think, you know, the reason why I live in York, Pennsylvania, is because my dad found his dream job here. So moved us from Los Angeles to here because he found his dream job in York, Pennsylvania, after doing a countrywide search. And when I asked him, you know, what was that dream job? He said, basically, he's an engineer. I wanted to go someplace where my skills were truly valued, where I was that one subject matter expertise and I wasn't one of 20, where I was just disposable at any given time, which is where he worked before. And so where people really shine, and he's, you know, hopelessly devoted to that organization, is going to be there until he retires, never even entertains the idea of looking anywhere else. But I think it speaks to that framework. I mean, they fully accept my dad, who he is, with all of the great talents, but also the, you know, the awkward weirdness, because my dad is a major introvert. And so he's not, you know, but he's good at what he does. And I think giving him that space where he feels safe has allowed him to really flourish in that employment standpoint.
And I think that's another great, like, that's another great just situation or example, because again, what I've kind of observed is if you give someone, I don't know, if you just listen or you ask questions or you allow them to be a little bit more relaxed and kind of open and share, everyone's got something extremely valuable to contribute, to offer. And I don't know that some folks, and maybe part of the intuitive relationship with someone, it's got to be someone allowing it to come out. Because I feel like if folks are given that, I don't even want to say permission, but it's almost permission to be themselves and to have that sort of authenticity, I feel like you almost see someone sit up and really get kind of a feeling of confidence, or just, hey, okay, you're really listening to what I'm saying. You're appreciating and valuing who I am and what I'm saying. And I think that might be the most important thing. Again, I look at the lens from the business side of things, and that's maybe where I think people are a little bit held back, part of their own doing, but it also might just be the perception they have of what the workplace is supposed to be like. You know what, I'll wait till someone asks me before I decide to contribute, rather than, you know, just, you know, putting yourself out there because you've got a certain sense or a feeling that something should be done differently or go in a different direction, or at least let's talk about it. So if that makes sense, yeah. You know.
So I think there's something we're kind of dancing around with intuitive leadership. So, you know, when I think of people who are intuitive professionals and leaders, like at the end of the day, when they choose to use those gifts or that skill and ability, it's because they're really passionate about their work. They love the people, they love the mission, they love, you know, whatever the work is that they're doing. Yet, you know, we have the rumblings, and I think this birthed a long time ago, that's why we had this birth of the separation of the two, that there is the other type of worker who has to work because I need to live, and my authentic nature is associated with things that are not going to be in this enterprise or corporation or organization. Doesn't mean that I'm a bad employee or a bad worker. And I keep thinking about this because I, you know, recently, as I talked to some of the college grads, you know, a lot of them have goals like pay off debt and then live in a van and travel the world. Yeah. I mean, like when I graduated, it was like, oh, I'm gonna become a manager and then a leader and then a VP. And then, like, those were my, but more and more, we're hearing these simplistic kind of life goals of, I want a good job to pay off debt and then go there. And they're gonna be great employees. But I think, like, sometimes I think it's dangerous when we're talking about this intuitive process because, like, oh, you'll unleash all this passion and everybody's gonna be highly productive and, working like at high momentum speed, but you're also going to have these stable workers who are still free to be themselves, but may not be like jazzed up like the others.
Yeah, that's a good that's true. I feel you're right. I almost feel like and I wonder if that's in those minds, are they selling themselves short or not looking that far, like you said, Sam, and myself too. You kind of had you had short-term goals, but you had long-term goals that you just thought, okay, I'm gonna do this, and here's the steps I'm gonna take. But I wonder if it almost seems like people are today are more interested, but let me get to this point and then I'll decide where I'm going to go. And I think that kind of flies in the face of that sense of intuition, or just you're almost you're just kind of pigeonholing yourself, or you're just kind of you're almost you're just not allowing yourself to think and to get and to get, how do I say it? I mean, like you said, people are like, geez, I just want to make sure I'm employed and I want to get from here to there. Rather than, all right, well, let's put things aside and give yourself time to I don't, to plan, to think, to dream, whatever that is. But to get yourself to feeling better about where you're going and maybe who you are and where you are right now.
Yeah. You say that, and then I think, I was just talking actually in another podcast interview with the guest, and it's just natural, like when you hear somebody sharing about finding what they want to do at this point in time in their life that says, don't you wish you had figured it out like much sooner? And then, to your point of, are these individuals graduating? Are they just focused on short-term goals, or are they setting more realistic time goals, knowing that they're going to evolve and have no idea what that next thing is going to be for them? And instead of most of us who are like, well, this is my path and this is what it's got to be, and if I don't do this, then I got to leave everything to shift somewhere else. I mean, it's going to be interesting in 10 years to see what these individuals actually do and what they've seen. I don't know. It's just really fascinating to me. I mean, maybe they are more intuitively guided than any of us.
Maybe, I've got, it's interesting. I have two daughters that are about 2 or 3 years apart. They're both working now, out, went to college, got out of college. They're both working, but they're very different. The older one, is in a field that she doesn't like, and what we're learning, and she's been in this for 2 or 3 years since she's been out of college, we're realizing she's really never liked it, but she thought this is maybe the this is probably it was she I think she at one time even said, well, geez, Dad, you and Mom kind of got excited when this was my major, so I felt like okay. But then a year or so into it, she's realizing I don't want to do this. The other daughter, the younger one who just graduated, always wanted to be, and the older one, it's an accounting type of industry that she's in. The younger one's more in fashion, and what's interesting about that is she's been wanting to do that since she was 7, 8 years old, and we kept trying to talk her out of it, and she kept not letting us talk her out of it, and she's starting a position actually tomorrow. With a department store on the corporate side, and it's and whether that ends up being what she thinks it's going to be, who knows? But it's interesting. She's, like you said, she's on a mission. For the last 15 years, she's had something in her mind that's been pushing her and drawing her, and would not be talked out of it. The older one is really struggling because she doesn't know what she wants to do, and it's a shame because it's just interesting to watch that dynamic play out. But I think it kind of fit what you were saying a little bit before. It's, you know, and I think the older you get, if you kind of dismiss that, geez, my passion was this the whole time, it might be hard to get back into that or to find yourself getting closer to that just over time.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's just natural that our conversation would evolve towards children because, you know, as I have, you know, opened my eyes and grown, I've realized that, you know, the story's all messed up as parents. Like, we're not meant to birth children to tell them how to live their lives. We're meant to keep them alive while they figure out what they want to do with their life. And I've also learned that they're some of the greatest teachers and they're also the most intuitive. So like intuition is organically ingrained in us as humans. And then we kind of like smack it and suppress it down as we get older. And, you know, I was really reminded of this. I last week went to a feng shui workshop. And the teacher was talking about, because we were very overwhelmed because there's so many things, like every corner is a certain energy and then the stars move and you're supposed to be mindful of this other. It's just like thing of after thing after thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my house is like a hot mess and it's going to be an energetic tornado. That's right. And I'm like, and all I got to do is find a blue rhino to put in this corner and it'll make everything all better. But she said, you know, a lot of this is intuitive. Like if you just listen to what it feels like and how you feel in your spaces, you'll be guided. And one of the things that she had said the whole class period was talking about coins. She said that coins are this metallic and they can really like help break up stagnant energy. And if you put them in these places this year, if you do nothing but put pennies in these places, it'll be good. And what I started to think about was my 7-year-old for the last month has been putting stacks of pennies throughout the house. And I would clean. I didn't know if it was because of this, but she is putting them in the areas like very close to where this woman was mapping out of according to her little charts and things like that. And I would clean them up and then Zoe would go find more and she would plop them back down. And it's been this game that we've been playing, but she was like, they need to be here. And she's just so confident in her decision. And that makes me think she's feeling something that I can't even pick up on, that she's like, why do you keep moving these coins? It feels funky over here. Don't you notice that? The coins need to be here.
And that sounds just like what a 7-year-old would say and how she would say it. And it's to your point, it's like, wow, there's a certain something going on that she's like, no, this belongs here. Could you imagine if, you know, as an adult, we would start walking around our house saying those kinds of things? But yeah, that's very interesting. Of all things, pennies, and then you go to a workshop and she's like, if nothing else, strategically place the pennies throughout your house.
And I'm like, oh, I just cleaned those up. Here's going, put the pennies back where you said they needed to be. Well, and I think that, you know, we've talked about a couple different things. We've talked about, you know, values came up today. We also talked about, oh my gosh, I just had a total brain fart on what the next thing was. But I think the other piece is authenticity. So when we're talking about, oh, I know what it was. Sorry, I'm going to rewind. Hopefully not confusing listeners, but rewinding the piece about, oh my gosh, what are the two concepts I just said? Authenticity, values, and culture. Culture is the word that I wanted to bring in here because culture, I think, is, you know, a word that we've used to try to define the intuitive nature of our organizations. Like, this is that unseen, that intangible, the way things just work because, like, when we say, like, that's just the way it is, that's the way that we live and breathe like an organization, you know, that's the almost intuitive nature of it. And when we tune into it, that's when you're using your intuition. Does that even make sense, Dave?
Yeah, it does. That's interesting because you're right. But we throw words like culture around. But you're right. It's when somebody says, well, you would really fit into the culture there, or you really want to make sure you understand the culture of that organization before you decide. You're right. That's the part where you feel like, you know, as a workforce, let's say, at least they're all on the same wavelength, or they want you on that certain kind of emotional path. So it makes perfect sense to me. In fact, that's a good, and that's another thing. I feel like culture, you can say, that's become an acceptable term, but, you know, you're not going to say, make sure you understand the intuitive nature of that, you know, where you're going or what you're doing. But I feel like it's a very similar concept. And I think it's happening anyway.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, you know, so, and that's where I was going with values and cult. These are terms that we're using to try to define this. And I think at the end of this, you know, intuition is all about authenticity. It's just being who you truly are, which is emotions and feelings and everything else. I mean, I think about, I mean, Dave, you went through Leadership Ideology, and it's not a woo-woo program. The whole thing is about letting you be in the space to be you 100%, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. And to that point, the folks that were in that particular course that we took over a 6-week period or so, whatever it was, we all came from different backgrounds. None of us really knew each other. So, but yet we were making connections based on, and we were doing it virtually, which was even a little more difficult to, you know, to get some type of rapport with everyone else. But you're right. So we were almost having to connect on a different level. And you're right. And we were doing that. And it was things you could really apply to every day. So I think, and this stuff, I don't think is all that, it's not, this stuff's been around for a long time, but I feel like you said, Sam, you've got to give yourself that permission to be authentic, and be around others that appreciate that, value it, and allow it to make everyone better.
Yeah. I mean, because honestly, what's the alternative? Being a portion of yourself and always feeling like a piece of yourself is not accepted. I mean, nobody likes that. Like, you feel like you got to be this version of Sam or this version of Dave because no one would accept the other half of you. I mean, and then we wonder why we end up being miserable or having being self-conscious in the workplace.
Well, and for me, I felt like until you and I kind of met in that random way, I was only being a portion of myself and was starting to just accept it, but there was something missing, and I knew that there was something missing, but, you know, you just kind of go through your day and you just do your thing. And yet once you get someone else that's helps you kind of realize what's really happening, oh my gosh, it's amazing what I'm, just my whole mindset, my whole attitude has changed over the past year. And now I feel like I'm that much more available to others. And I feel like I want to bring on and pull out whatever type of intuitive sense from other people and help leaders that may need this, that have it, but may not realize, hey, it's, you know, you can tap into this and really be fulfilled.
I love that, you know, talking about making that shift in the workplace, it starts with us sitting there and taking the time and caring about their feelings and, you know, oh, you just made a face. Do you not agree? Is there something else going on? Well, it's nothing. It's just a gut. It's just a feeling I got. Well, no, I want to know about the feeling because feelings, you know, from a neuroscience standpoint, feelings come from a place in the brain that doesn't have the capacity to give it language. And so when we discount feelings, we're discounting a whole portion of our brain and the processing that's occurring. So recognizing that, I mean, that's taking the importance of nonverbal communication and using that in our entire communication process to a whole nother level.
Yeah, you see it a lot, and it's interesting, and maybe this is something the listeners can, you know, I don't want to say it's homework, but something maybe you start to pay attention to those moments throughout the day where you can tell some type of intuition is going on, whether it's you or someone else, and see whether you can, you know, like Sam said, either kind of bring it out so it's talked about, or just see what you can do with it, and maybe help someone realize, oh wow, okay, because I bet you a lot of folks are on automatic pilot too. They're this is going on and they're not even aware of it. But it would be interesting to kind of be a little more, I don't know, sensitive to it, to see how often it's probably really happening already.
Yeah. I'd say, yes, that is homework. Then you need to tell us about it so that we know what you're witnessing, and tell us how often is intuitive leadership actually happening. Because I think that's where we started at the beginning of this is, are you seeing it? Because I'm seeing it. Are we imagining it? Is it just because we really want it to be there? But I think it's all around. And to Dave's point, I think it's been there a long time. We just haven't really called or acknowledged it.
Yeah. And it's hard. This is stuff that's, you know, if you're aware of it, it's, and you don't see anyone else, I don't know, talking about it, it's up to you. I mean, it's your job then to make it known, to call it out. And I promise you, and Sam and I are living proof of this, good things will happen. It might not seem at the time, it might be frustrating, it might, you know, but you're going to go into a direction that, you know, you're really going to get more out of it than it might look like when you first start.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, we did it. We like did a first episode talking about intuitive leadership, and I think there was tons of great nuggets in there. And, you know, as listeners, you know, this is Dave and I's first time going at this, but we really want to make sure that we use these episodes throughout the season to get you the answers that you want, whether that means we bring on experts to chat with us, whether that you want us to do some of our preliminary Google search research and give you our two cents on certain things. But give us feedback, tell us about what you're seeing in regards to intuitive leadership, and make sure that you join us in the future and give us feedback about what you liked and what you didn't like so that Dave and I can be of service, because I know that I really enjoyed this conversation today.
Oh, likewise. I'm so, I'm just thrilled that you invited me here. And yeah, I challenge all the listeners out there. I mean, you know, just make it part of a day where you look and see what's happening out there and start to pay attention and see if there's intuitive leadership, where it is around you, and also whether you're being a part of it. That would be kind of cool too.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Before we wrap up, I know I have announcements, and Steph will really be upset with me if I don't get announcements in, but just so that you know, next week we are launching a brand new podcast. It's called the Heartworker Book Club Podcast. So if you loved our book club from last year, they are getting their own podcast, in addition to some very special episodes featuring some of my favorite authors and their books. So check that out on February 14th. I'm doing a debut episode talking about The HR Intuitive, which is the book that Dave is reading, so that you can hear a little bit about that. And then also last week, our HR Culture Collective kicked off on Friday with Jeff Harry as our speaker. This is our HR like-minded community. They are very much intuitive leaders that are coming together once a month to connect. It's also open to people-driven practitioners who lead people and want to tune up on that HR side of things. The spring season just started, so if you enroll today, you can join us for March and for April. But that's it for us today on the Heart of It podcast. Dave and I will be back in, I think, about 2 weeks covering another topic. But until then, take care.
Okay. Bye, everyone.